Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter. And essentially, this is going to be the Saquon Barkley episode, okay? So we have Saquon. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes here. A lot to talk to him about because how he's doing in his recovery is a big part for the Giants, not only for their present, but for their future, right? The Giants have a big decision coming up with Saquon. I mean, it's getting closer and closer. He's entering now his fourth NFL season. They're going to have to decide if or when. It seems more inevitable of the when part, especially after hearing John Mara talk recently. And we'll debate another time about whether you think that's right or wrong. But this team is built around Saquon Barkley. He's their number one weapon. We saw that this year. Their offense without him was lacking. And I'm probably being nice about that by just saying lacking. Okay? Their weapons were insufficient without Saquon Barkley. Like, they need this guy. This team is essentially built offensively around him. So they need him to come back, and they need him to be healthy. So we'll ask Saquon about that, how he's doing, what he's up to, what he's going to be doing this offseason. Because this is still kind of a crazy offseason. We're still in a pandemic around this country. So where you go, what you do, where you rehab, it's going to be kind of interesting for him. A little different for sure than it might have been otherwise. So Saquon's also involved in the Campbell's Chunky Million Meals Challenge. We'll talk to him about that. That's an event that's coming up on Monday, January 25th, where he'll be helping raise money for children who, and hunger, the hunger problem throughout this country that children face today. You can donate if you want, millionmealschallenge.com, or by texting meals 52,000 for a one-time $25 donation. This is throughout the tournament, which will be Monday at 8 p.m. Now, let's take care of some housekeeping first, okay? The Giants and the rest of the league, teams that are out of it right now, this is sort of a down period except for the teams that are making coaching changes. Now, the Giants are going to likely have some changes in their coaching staff. Not a ton, but offensively, it sounds like offensive line coach Dave DiGuglielmo, we've practiced that before, his contract is up. He was brought in, really was supposed to be as a sort of consultant, took over obviously when the Mark Colombo thing blew up. So he's out of contract right now. I wouldn't say it's completely out of the question that he comes back with the Giants. They've talked about bringing him back, but they haven't come to any sort of contractual agreement. So as of right now, it looks like they might go elsewhere. I wouldn't rule it out completely that he does end up coming back. Let's see how that goes for Googe. Also, I mean, just from talking to people in and around the team, you still get the impression that there could be more changes coming on the offensive side of that coaching staff. We just don't know. There's been nothing concrete that suggests that they're definitely coming back in Fulham. We're obviously talking about Jason Garrett here because, look, their offense was shaky. Jason Garrett was sort of like an arranged marriage for Joe Judge. You know, he was suggested upon him by ownership. So whether Jason Garrett is back, I still get the impression, it's just my impression from talking to people, nobody has flat out said this, that there could be some changes. I don't know to what degree, whether they add a passing game coordinator, a run game coordinator, or alter some responsibilities. Who knows exactly what it is? But my gut from talking to people right now says there still could be some changes in store. As for players, the Giants will have some decisions to make. They'll have time for that, though. Coaches this last week were pretty much out of the building. Even Joe Judge, he went away, went out of the building, took some time off. Patrick Graham as well. Jason Garrett was waiting for the Chargers. Obviously, he did not get that job. That went to Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator of the Rams. Getting confused out there between the L.A. San Diego team. I'm trying not to say San Diego, even, and I know it's L.A. It's the L.A. Chargers. I'm trying not to say, it's like the R word when I talk about the Washington football team. So, but yeah, so the coaching situation still up in the air a little bit. Going to be some changes on that offensive staff. We'll see how many. I wouldn't be surprised if quarterbacks coach Jerry Schaplinski or even tight ends coach Freddie Kitchens gained a bit more responsibility offensively. Those are two guys I believe Joe Judge has a lot of trust in offensively. So those are guys maybe that more align with his philosophical beliefs. So we'll kind of see how that goes here. I think that's something to keep an eye on. As for players, right, the free agency, we're talking like a good month before there's any decisions made. Even guys like Leonard Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson who are free agents, contracts aren't getting done now. I don't even think Leonard Williams can, because once that date passed for franchise players, he cannot re-sign until I believe the season is over. So there's nothing that's going to happen there. Plus, he's on the verge of free agency where he could make a lot of money if he wants. So he has downplayed that being the case, that that financial aspect of it is his primary focus. But a lot of guys say that. It's a lot different. You know, how many of them actually mean it? Like, when push comes to shove, are you going to take $15 million a year over $20 million a year if you can get $20 million a year elsewhere? Really? You really going to do that? Because I don't know many, if any, players that will actually do that. So we'll see if Leonard Williams is really, willing to, walk the walk. Right now he's talking the talk. But is he willing to walk the walk? Different story. There's some decisions to be made. I mean, Golden Tate, that's a decision to be made later. It would be really hard to see him coming back at this point. Nate Solder's an interesting one. I told you guys, and we'll get to the Saquon right after this. I told you guys I would mention this before in the last episode. His financial situation, okay? So, essentially, if the Giants bring Nate Solder back next year, they'll have to pay him $10 million in cash. So he'll be a $10 million player out of their pocket. He will count, though, $16 million against the salary cap, which is a big number. Probably it's the biggest salary cap number the Giants will have as of right now, except, Leonard Williams comes back, he would beat that, or if they bring in someone else who's a big splash kind of guy, he'll be ahead of him. But so Nate Solder will count the most on their books against the salary cap if they bring him back. Now, if they cut him, they still have $10.5 million in dead money, okay, because his contract was told. It means it was basically pushed back. At least most of the money was pushed back. It's almost as if last year never happened. Now, he opted out. It was for good reason. I mean, he had his family to worry about. If you have a problem with that, you need to reassess yourself personally. But so his money got pushed back. So $10 million dead money if the Giants do cut him. $6 million cap savings only if they do cut him. So it's a chunk, $6 million, but it's also not a huge chunk. I mean, they're not going to go be able to sign a left tackle or right tackle that's probably better than Nate Solder for $6 million. It's a tough thing to do, Maybe you can, but I mean, Nate Solder at least has that upside to play at a really high level. I know he hasn't. It's been a few years now, but so this is going to be a decision. That's going to be the big decision of the offseason. Now, I'll keep you informed as I learn, pick up crumbs along the way and learn some stuff. But in the meantime, let's get to the highlight of this episode. Let's talk to Saquon Barkley. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're here with Saquon Barkley. Saquon, welcome. How's everything going, man?
Everything's going good. I can see you now, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Everything's going good.
Good-looking man, isn't it? Fine-looking man. I put on my I took up the sweatpants for you. You know that.
I appreciate
rare,
that. I appreciate
rare
that.
These days.
I really don't see you in the suit much, especially what's going on with COVID, only seeing you guys through a Zoom meeting and stuff like that.
Yeah, you miss us. I know, right?
Oh yeah, let's go with that.
Yes. So tell me, you're doing something with called the Chunky Million Meals Challenge, right?
Yeah.
Explain to me what it is and your involvement.
Yeah, so it's a Madden tournament, and I will be champion with Chunky's coach, along with a couple of other NFL players, Mike Miles, Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, and those guys. And the whole purpose of this is for a great cause, and it's to raise money to provide over 100 million meals to kids who need food. And Campbell's is going to be donating 32 million of those meals. So anytime, you know, I always love working with Campbell's. I've been working with them for, I think, since my rookie year, to be honest. And they have the same passion as I do, and love giving back and giving back to the community. So anytime, you know, you can partner up with those guys, it's always an honor.
It's January 28th. It'll be broadcast live on NFL Network, all kinds of other places as well. And people can donate at millionmealschallenge.com. I will say this. Every time, and at least all your Campbell's initiatives, they always seem to be children based. A lot of your initiatives, a lot of things you're working with. Tell me why you like to go in that direction. Why that, I guess, is your preference.
Honestly, I don't think it's just that's the goal. I think it's kind of out of the line. I'm just really for about giving back, understanding that, you know, God put me in a position to play the sport that I love, and especially in one of the biggest markets in the world, and have a lot of eyes on me. And, you know, I want to try to do things the right way through and help and teach kids from the things I do positive, and even, you know, the mistakes I make, and using the people I have around my team and the people that I also work with, and like such as Campbell's, to find unique ways that we can give back. And, you know, like I said, it's always an honor when you have those type of people around you that have the same idea and the same mindset as you have.
So how's your Madden game? Like, when you play, are you one of those guys who play the Giants and run yourself like 60 carries for like 450 yards or something like that?
My Madden game is awful. I'll be honest. It's awful. Especially I was just got done talking to a whole bunch of pros, and we just got done drafting our guys onto our team. And I hate playing with the Giants because I don't like, if I mess up, I got to take myself out. I get too, I'm like,
you
too
bench invested. Yourself. You really bench yourself.
I bench myself. I'm too invested into it. So it's like, it's always been fun. And like growing up, I was like, I can't wait till I'm in the Madden game. I can't wait. But right. Then like when I actually got into it, it's like, I'm way too competitive to like say if I break like a long run and like I think in my head I would have scored a touchdown, but I see right. A safety come and catch me. I'm just like, what's going on?
You know, like video game Saquon can't do it in your mind. Real life Saquon could do that. That's
I mean, but I will say, especially talking to a lot of kids that play the game, I think I'm one of a lot of people's favorite players to play with. So that's pretty cool too.
I'm sure you're pretty good. You're speaking of your competitiveness, so I want to know, right? What has this year been like for you in regards to watching games? I mean, we see you on social media. You like, you know, you give very. You're even emphatic. I could see you just by your words. You know, you finish with the quadruple letter at the end, 7 exclamation points. You seem like you're very invested watching the game. Are you like a crazy fan watching the game? Can you sit down? What's that experience like been for you?
I'm definitely up. I'm yelling at the TV. I'm screaming. If Sterling makes a touchdown, he's flexing. I'm up there flexing with him. But it was tough. It was tough because, you know, you want to be out there so bad, and it's just hard. It was hard to watch those guys, but at the same time, I was so happy and so proud of them. You know, especially well, obviously we didn't start the year we would like to, and kind of got hot towards the end of the season and in the middle of the season. Like I said, it's you're too invested. I'm definitely passionate about it, but it was tough at first. But still, getting to at least get some involvement in football is always a good thing.
So where are you at now? I mean, where are you at in your progression? What's the plan? Like, you go to California, you train, you're going to train here. You have your personal trainer. How are you going to handle this whole thing now?
Right now, I'm be doing most of it with the Giants, especially with Lee and all those guys. I think they've been doing a great job for me. Nothing's really planned. I'm still trying to figure out what's going to happen. I think the Lee meetings after Super Bowl, where we figure out if we're even going to like have OTAs or how they're going to even adjust to that. Only thing I do know that I have planned for sure, I'm definitely going to link up with O. Obviously, Odell tore his knee up a little bit too. And, you know, I think just we both believe just being there and, you know, we're really good friends and competing with each other and pushing each other will also be good too. But that's the only thing that I know, like, for certain I'm going to do. Everything else in the air.
That was actually my next question because you guys, I know you're friendly, you and Odell. Mm-hmm. Have you used each other as sounding boards? Have you consulted each other of like how you're doing and like kind of comparing yourself? And how close are you in regards to, you know, where you are in your rehab and your progression?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely talk, whether it's on a phone or playing Call of Duty. Obviously, probably played a little more of that than I would like to this year. But it was weird. I'm literally rehabbing. I remember I'm rehabbing and I'm looking up and I'm watching, like, I see like a clip and I see Odell get hurt. So that definitely hurt me. But to have, I mean, it's obviously we both wouldn't want to go through this, I guess you could say. But I think it's really important that since we are really close and we know each other so well and we are true two competitors and we think that we can really help each other, I do think it's important to really link up. But at the same time, we both got to come in with the mindset of get 1% better each day. And that's what we got to get from each other, however way we can get it.
You're going to train together at some point, you think?
Definitely going to I mean, we always every year, I always link up with him.
Right. You get in California usually.
Yeah. Somewhere, but definitely find a way to link up. And, you know, obviously I would love to even any of those guys that, you know, that's going through the same injury, whether it's Joe, Bush, the Bud, you know, there's a couple guys this year. Any guy, I think it'll be really dope if we can all link up.
And what's your expectation for that? Is it you going to have to hold yourself back because you don't want to be too competitive?
Yeah,
or are you going to kind of like compare yourself to them a little bit?
Yeah, it's not more like comparing each other because every one injury, even though it may have this or have that, every one injury is different. So it's not really more of comparing or competing with each other. What I mean, like competing, like competing within ourselves and making sure that we're there pushing each other and getting the best out of each other. Because especially when you go through injuries, I mean, there's going to be those times where, you know, you might have to back off a rehab or this might be a day you might be able to push it. And sometimes it's how life works. Sometimes it's better to have people that you know you care about and they care about you to help you through that too.
As in regards to the Giants, right? You saw what this year was like, 31st in total offense. For you having to sit there and watch that, what's that like to know that you guys finished with the 31st total offense? You were part of it, but granted, you know what? It was 1.5 games or whatever.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, it sucks to see it when you're out, when you're just watching. I would say just because you can't be out there. But even though we may have not finished where we would like to be, I think I saw a lot of positivity, a lot of glimpse of, you know, the future. The future is very bright, whether it's within the offense or the offensive line or, you know, all the guys that we have there. You know, I still believe and still have trust and faith that we can be an explosive offense. And I'm looking forward to hopefully be able to add to that again next year.
What needs to be fixed?
I would say, you know, at the end of the day, the big thing about football is everyone, most likely, to be honest, are running kind of the same plays. And whether people call it differently, different names, stuff like that, at the end of the day, if it's inside zone, it's inside zone. If it's a stretch play, it's a stretch play. There might be different techniques and people might coach it up differently. But I just think we got to continue to buy in, continue to come in and work every single day and continue to believe in each other. And I think that's where it starts. And I truly believe if we do that, we can really shake some things up.
So last one, and how realistic is it in your mind for you to go from 31st, you know, second worst offense to be in the top, you know, top half, top 10, top five, whatever it is next year in 1 year to make that flip?
I do believe we can, but I do believe that it has to start off with right now in this offseason. We have this offseason, and whenever we are able to do it, able to link up, obviously smart in a smart way, in a safe way, obviously still what's going on in the world, and preparing ourselves. And then when we are back to normal, whether that's camp and so on, continue to work every single day and continue to push each other in. And I think those things can happen.
Saquon Barkley, thank you very much. Hey, get healthy. You know, it's a lot more fun when you're on the field. You know, we all want to see it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it, man. Appreciate your time.
No problem.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was Saquon Barkley there. I had a little slip. I think I said January 28th. The Chunky Millions Meal Challenge is this Monday. This Monday, January 25th. It's on the NFL Network, the NFL YouTube channel, Madden Competitive Gaming YouTube, the Madden Twitch, the CSL Esports Twitch account. And viewers are encouraged to donate to Gen U to help tackle food insecurity among the nation's children. You could donate at MillionMealsChallenge.com or by texting meals to 52,000 for a one-time $25 donation. It's going to be really interesting, and that's why you're always looking very carefully at how Saquon's doing health-wise and what's going to happen moving forward, because these next 12 months with Saquon Barkley are going to be huge for him, for the Giants organization, for the future of the franchise. They're really going to tell you where this organization is headed, right? Whether they're headed in the right direction, they're close to winning, whether they're going to pay him, whether he comes back healthy at his old form. And really, I have no doubt with the way ACL injuries have become these days and the way modern medicine has evolved, that Saquon Barkley is and will come back. I mean, he's 23 years old. I think he turns 24 in a couple weeks or so, but he's 23 years old. People come back from ACL injuries pretty regularly now, and it's not something that you kind of, you know, you lose a little bit of a step for the most part, unless there's other damage than just the actual tear. So I think for the most part, I expect Saquon Barkley to come back and be his old self from what he was like, you know, pretty much his rookie year, because last year was kind of ruined too, so. And now I want to get to a little Jordan on the beat, and we'll make this mostly the Saquon episode, but I do want to sneak in here a little Jordan on the beat where I tell you what it's like to cover the New York Giants, to work for ESPN and cover the NFL in general. And I think it's appropriate for me to give you an idea of that this offseason, again, is going to be quite interesting, right? With COVID, coronavirus, still a problem, traveling, still limited. I mean, the combine is not going to be the combine that everybody knows and loves. I mean, it's not going to work that way. They've already laid out sort of that there's going to be no workouts. So there's going to be pro days, and that's where, and it's going to be, the videos are going to be shared to all the teams, whether they're there or not. So no combine. I will not be going to Indianapolis this year. I pretty much go every year. That is a breeding ground for information. Agents, teams, they talk, wink, wink, about free agents that are about to become free agents. And that's why you see a lot of times these things are done beforehand. Now, it'll probably be done remotely, virtually, whatever. But to not be around that atmosphere, you know, information might not flow quite as freely once again. And the same with the Senior Bowl. I've been to that multiple times. Everyone gets together. They go and they watch. This is their first chance to scout a lot of these guys. You find out a lot of good nuggets during these events. And to not have them this year is going to create another challenge. And it's also going to stifle information a little bit. I mean, I'll do my best for you guys, I promise, to make the calls, to get out there, to text as many people as possible. But to not be there face-to-face, and there's certain people that you just bump into when you're at the Senior Bowl, or you just bump into when you're at the combine. You have a conversation. They, you know, tell you something about what's going to happen in free agency, or about internally, or about who they think, you know, are the top linebackers in free agency. Like, these kind of things happen. And last year, it happened. I was talking to someone, and I found out who, you know, they were pretty open with me about who they thought were the top linebackers in free agency. And you're like, okay, you just take it, you jot it down, you put it in your back pocket, and then you piece all this information together, and then you provide informed reporting,
later on down the line. So that's kind of the way it works. But this year, it's going to be a lot tougher. So just giving you a heads up on that. No excuses. I'm not making excuses here. I still have to do my job and do it well. But we're living in a different world. Everything is different. You just not as free to move around and interact with other people. I mean, that's still the reality of the society that we live in, to the working environment that we're in. I mean, people aren't sending employees on trips like they used to. I mean, I haven't traveled since the combine. That's the last time I traveled. I actually snuck in a vacation last February. We went to Cancun as a family, got it in just before things started shutting down. And then the combine was like the last straw of right. It was early March, I believe, of right around late February, early March, of right around when, you know, this country started to get shut down. And it really isn't fully opened up because people like me haven't traveled, haven't gone out, haven't, you know, I mean, I've gone out of my house, but I haven't gone away. I don't travel out of town very often, if at all. And if it is, it's within like a 30-mile radius of where I'm at. So that's where we're at heading into this offseason. We'll see what happens. The Jason Garrett, I guess, I don't know if decision is even the right word. Situation in general, of what his future is at this point, that's something we'll be monitoring moving forward. Trust me, if I have anything definitive on it, you'll know. And we'll talk about that at a later date. So with that, that's the end of this episode of Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. I'm your host, Jordan Ronan, ESPN.com Giants reporter. See you next time.